questions you may have. So, reflections on the election. I thought that that we had a good election. I thought that the poll workers, both on election day and in absentee early voting, did a good job. And speaking of that, I'd like to just add something to the record that I think is applicable to the citizens who volunteer to work at the polls who work at the absentee board. It's a small excerpt from a very long speech that I commend to you, commonly known as the Man in the Arena speech, but it was entitled Citizenship in a Republic by Theodore Roosevelt. It was given to the Sorbonne in Paris on April 23rd, 1910. And Mr. Roosevelt, by that time, was known as the leader of the Rough Riders. He was the youngest president ever to become, youngest man ever to become president of the United States. By then, he'd won the Nobel Prize for settling the Russo-Japanese War and served the rest of one Mr. McKinley's term and his own term as president. His speech was speaking about the struggles of the new world republic to the intellectuals of at that time the greatest university in the world. He goes on to say, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. So I want to thank everyone who participated in the election, all of the election day poll workers, all of the absentee voter boards, the folks who moved all the election equipment down and around and up through the jail and back down, the watchers, and all those who participated, because it's only with that participation which, although there is a modest stipend, is basically a voluntary effort. Without that participation, there is no democracy. Democracy every 2 years in this country is placed out in full view, and sometimes it gets a little bit scrabbly. But we all seem to survive, and we've survived through tough times and good times. And those people who work the polls who visit the in the travel boards, who get out in their vehicles in the dark, in the rain, to deliver extra ballots. Those are the people that make the democracy work and cause the statues, the statue on the pinnacle of the Capitol building to gleam in the sunshine. So thank you for that. Thank you for the election board, the members of this election board. I thought we had a very solid election board. We dealt with some issues and there was some partisan debate, but we worked through it and achieved. I thought the parties were looked after their interests, but all in the spirit of democracy. We had virtually no issues at the polls, and I thought it was a really very solid election. If there is one item that received notice, certainly in the paper, and certainly noticed by the election board, was that we had, I've caused frustration with the newspaper, but I never actually really counted, but approximately 100 ballots attributable to absentee early voting that were not counted because the ballots weren't either signed or initialed by both clerks or by one clerk. Therefore, those ballots weren't counted. There's a distinction here, and I want to raise the distinction. This applies to election day at the polls. That's Indiana Code 3-12-1-12. This section applies to votes cast by any method. Except as provided in Section 13 of this chapter, a ballot that has been marked and cast by a voter in compliance with this title, but may otherwise not be counted solely as the result of the act or failure to act of an election officer, may nevertheless be counted in a proceeding under Indiana Code 312-6, 312-8, or 312-11, that's recounts, unless evidence of fraud, tampering, or misconduct affecting the integrity of the ballot is presented by a party to the proceeding. The act or failure to act by an election officer is not by itself evidence of fraud, tampering, or misconduct affecting the integrity of the ballot. So, if on election day there's a ballot that does not have the initials of both of the poll workers, of the clerks, on the ballot, that ballot, unless there is evidence of fraud, will still be counted. And if you think about it, it makes sense because it's already been run through the tabulator. And it's under the control of the poll workers, and it's on election day. So there's that. Then there's a statute, Indiana Code 3-12-1-13, that reads as follows. This section applies only to absentee ballots. The whole ballot may not be counted unless the ballot is endorsed with the initials of the two members of the absentee voter board or the two appointed members of the county election board or their designated representatives. So that's absentee voting is picks up, there's two elements of it. One is mail-in absentee voting, and the other is in-person absentee voting. And in-person absentee voting has become very, very popular. We had let's see here. About half of the ballots were cast in early voting.
Yes.
So we had about half of the ballots here cast in early voting. The process for casting ballots in walk-in early voting is an arduous process, and it requires the poll workers to identify the voter, to qualify the voter, to determine what precinct the voter is in, because everybody comes to the same place, and then they are required to prepare an envelope that requires identification of the voter on the outside of the envelope. Then they give the ballot to the voter, and the voter goes off and votes. And then this year, for the first time, the clerks don't sign the envelope before the voter goes to vote. They have to give the envelope to the voter. The voter goes to the voting booth, the voter votes, and then the voter has to come back to the clerks and present not their ballot, because the ballot is folded up. They then put the ballot in the envelope. Then the voter has to sign the envelope, and then only after the ballot's in the envelope and the voter has signed the envelope may the poll clerks sign the envelope itself. Then it's sealed up and then it's put in the ballot box. Okay, so that's a pretty difficult process, and I think the reason that we had about 100 ballots. Some of them, most all of the ballots were attributable to this. I think the reason we had about 100 ballots was over the course of 28 days and over the course of periods of time where there was huge interest and huge anticipation by the voters and very little patience by them. Because they voted early and they thought, you know, maybe I could get through here pretty quick. There was the poll members, the members of the absentee board, just left out a step. The reason that there's not a good fix to this, and why I'm delighted that Tim is here, was a member of the incoming Board of Commissioners. I think a material reason for that is that the space that we had allocated, however thankful we are to the school board for having that space out at Eagle Park, was too small. And I don't think that it is practical for two clerks no matter how skilled and experienced they are, to handle all of the elements of that process in the situation where everyone who is in line is in a hurry, and the only way to complete the process with one voter is to interrupt the process with two or three other voters because they have to cut back in line so that you can take care of this. I think the only solution is to have two sets of clerks. One set of clerks to deliver the ballot and deliver the envelope, and then another set of clerks to receive the ballot back and receive back the envelope handle that so that your process is linear. And in the little building that we are in out there at Eagle Park, there's not room for another set of clerks. We can set up two sets of clerks two clerks on either side of the building, but we can't set up two sets of clerks on one side of the building. And so it's just too small. And I think that that is the reason, because all of our poll workers, virtually all of them, worked in the last election. They were even more experienced in this election than they were in the last election. The only good explanation to me is that they just need more room, and we need more room for cover the process. I think that we need a room at least as big as the salmon room, so that it can be properly set up with as many as four members of the absentee board working two different lines. The impatience of voters was, to me, was best exemplified by the provisional voting, where both at Jackson 1 and 2 and Jackson 3 and 4, we had voters come in, get in line, stand in line, get up to the poll clerks, and realize that they were in the wrong line, that their precinct was on the other side of the room, and the solution was they needed to leave and go back and vote and get in line again. And they determined that for whatever reason, that they did not have the time to do that. So they cast a ballot, a provisional ballot, knowing that they were in the wrong precinct and knowing that the ballot would not be counted. But we probably allowed about 15% of the total ballots that were provisional ballots, but we had about 10 or 12 of those sorts of ballots, none of which, you know, were allowed. And I'm sure that the poll clerks or the inspectors told the voter that their vote wouldn't count, but they chose to go ahead and cast a ballot that they knew wouldn't be counted rather than wait. So that gives you a sense of the expectation of the voters and why we need to have more room for the absentee early voting, so we can properly set the room up and properly staff it. There's not a lot of places in Brown County that's big enough to do that, but the county commissioners determine where we carry on our voting, and I'd like to, or in this early on, put a bee under your bonnet to be thinking about that, because if you wait too long, for example, the exhibition hall that is at the fairgrounds is great, but it's not available for 28 days because of all the use and rentals and leases and that sort of thing. And we used this room for 2 or 3 years, and then it was determined that it was too much of a disruption for the county offices. And so therefore we couldn't use it, and the schools were gracious enough to let us go out to Eagle Park. But it's not big enough and it won't work anymore. I think that's the most material observation I have of the election this time around. We had some folks that went to the wrong polls, and not just besides Jackson 1, 2, and 3, and 4, but they chose and knowingly chose to vote in the wrong precinct, knowing that they wouldn't their vote wouldn't count because for whatever reason they didn't have time to drive a mile down the road and go to the correct precinct. That's a judgment of the voter, but it's a shame, and I think that we could work through that at least in absentee early voting with a little more time. Do you have anything to add, Rick?
No, I pretty much, Mark, would echo almost everything you said. Thanks to the poll workers, I mean, that was tremendous. Thanks to the camaraderie of our board here, I think we worked real well, especially as we're have our election central and people coming in and so forth, and I think really did a nice job. I thought the inspector training helped out, refreshed the inspectors. We did that this time, was able to attend that. Again, Eagle Park, it's just not conducive to doing what, and we knew this from the very beginning. I went out, I looked at other places. We had originally had Deer Run for a while. That wasn't available. It's now Park and Rec. Even went to the old CRC building. That looks like a great place. It's got a big room, but it also is where people come and sit for the doctors. So that's not available. So anything that, you know, Eagle Park thankfully was available, but it just, from the very beginning, did not seem like an adequate place to conduct that. One of the problems we have with early voting is you have two clerks. That's it. You don't have the judges that you have on election day to help the voter, either when they get done, you know, sometimes just simply feeding the ballot into the scanner, but they can be helpful and say, you know, did you check election day? Like Mark said, it's not critical that we have both sets of initials. But somebody needs to remind the voter at early voting, did you check to make sure the initials are there? And everything Mark said about how chaotic that is at times, even with both sides going, with interrupting the line when you come back with your ballot. One clerk, and I know my wife worked some of that, and she'd say she would initial the ballot, she'd pull the ballot, you know, get the person checked in, initial the ballot, and stick her finger on it, hoping then that the other clerk there would get that initial before it was voted. So there's so much of that goes on that makes it difficult. And again, I echo what Mark is saying about Eagle Park is not great. One thing we might do, Perlita, is survey poll workers, both and especially the absentee workers. I know Deb's here today, Julie, just to see if they have ideas to better make the process better, basically.
I'll send out an email.
Yeah, but even though out in the polls, I think overall they work very well together. You know, both parties come together. They make sure we have a good election. It's a fair and safe election. So, Mark, I can go on, but I think you covered about everything I would cover.
Now, I think my comments and Rick's comments are not a knock on the workers. I think that they did a remarkable job given the complexity of their task and the difficulty in building an assembly line to make that work in that building.
And I don't think this is a problem just with Brown County. I think the election, and I remember a state representative election in Boone and Hendricks County, same kind of things are discussed in the Star about not being able to count some of the ballots. So I don't think this is unusual. I know maybe there are better processes some of the counties are using. Maybe they've had additional people that have made sure that, especially in early voting, those initials are there and everything else is working properly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we'll have to do. I think that if the irony is, if you look at the grace that you have exists under the statute on election day. And it's on election day that you have the most poll workers and you have people with delegated responsibilities present. It's in early voting, and I think what's happened is in an effort to avoid early in-person voting fraud, we have simply kept the we've added a lot of requirements, but because we simply refer to all of the people that need to do that work as the absentee board, perhaps don't staff it properly. We know better now, but you can't staff it any better if you have to use that building. There's just no place to put the people. Perlita?
I agree with you on the great job that all of our counterparts did to help pull this all off. I will say that in looking at buildings before choosing Eagle Park, the superintendent, Emily, did take me over to the CRC, and we looked at a few rooms, classrooms over there. However, the biggest problem with using the CRC is they also have preschoolers in there. So I was told that if we chose to use a classroom, we would also have to hire or have a armed officer at the door to ensure that none of our voters spoke to the preschoolers, because that is not allowed. Not saying good morning, not saying hello. Our voters were not permitted to speak to the preschoolers at all. And Emily wanted us to hire somebody to stand there and make sure that didn't happen. And that wasn't an option. So then we went out to Eagle Park and took a look at it, and it is too small. I agree wholeheartedly, absolutely. I knew that there would be a bigger influx during early voting for the general election versus the primary, but Lord have mercy, I didn't expect what we had. I'm thankful, though. I mean, a large percentage of our county got out and voted early. Like you said, almost half. But, Tim, we really do need bigger space. And tying up the salmon room isn't an option either for us. You know how many meetings go on here, and we can't shuffle equipment in and out. It has to be someplace that we can secure it for the entire time. Now, during the 2026 election, I will say we don't have to do 28 days of early voting. In the off years of presidential elections, I can scale it back to as many or as little days as I want, and that's something that the board and I will discuss after the first of the year. I want to scale it back as far as I can without upsetting the apple cart too bad. So, but we do, for future use, for the next presidential election, we will have to have it for 28 days. So it's better that we find some place that we can secure on a continuous basis. So if you guys could help us out with that, that would be greatly appreciated.
I want to also commend the clerk in that she ran this election during the primaries shorthanded, and shorthanded in her office, and she, there, because of the of her staff, there was no one that had any legacy knowledge of the system, so she became the resident expert of the electronic poll books. In addition to, and that was not only what they did, but how they did it, and how to make them do what they were supposed to do. We had support for the actual voting equipment, but the electronic voting, electronic poll books, Perlita educated herself and became the expert with that. So, kudos to you.
Anything
else? And I will say this: I think that the absentee board would have pulled off at early absentee voting without an issue had we not had the additional statute that just that went into effect for this election that required the envelopes to come back and be signed only after the ballot had been cast and the ballot could be seen and the voter signed the envelope. I think that's what created the disruption. Anything else on the past election?
No.
Okay, so now I want to talk about vote centers. There was the vote centers received some interest in the newspaper. I'm glad the newspapers aren't very big, because otherwise I would have had to have gotten an additional file. But the concern was that, you know, if there were people that showed up at the polls and they were at the wrong poll, and either they didn't have time to get to the right poll or they chose not to and just simply cast a ballot that they didn't want to, that they knew wouldn't be counted. And there was a inference that if we had voting centers, that wouldn't have been a problem. That's true. The way the process works for voting centers is the election board initiates the process to go to voting centers. It's the responsibility of the election board to hold public hearings and to come up with a plan that's then submitted to the commissioners. The election board has to vote unanimously for the plan, then it goes to the Board of Commissioners. If the Board of Commissioners passes the plan by majority vote, then the plan is delivered to the State Election Division for consideration, and the State Election Division can then approve the plan, at the next election you become a vote center county. Most of the counties in Indiana are vote center counties.
Haiti 7 out of 92.
Yeah, that's most. Almost all, I guess. The reason, in part, that you that you have this flexibility at the vote centers is the concept is that you have these large voting centers that are strategically located around the county where a voter can go no matter where they live and vote. So the idea would be that they would be located somewhere, you know, on a main road that would lead, that leads to an employment area. You know, if you live in, Westfield, you'd want a voting center, maybe someplace along US 31 for all the people that work in Indianapolis. If you live in Columbus, you'd want a voting center somewhere on the north side for all the people that live in Indianapolis. And in fact, I think one of the voting centers in Columbus is the old mall. They use that as one of their voting centers. So you have a big space. You have it's managed as if it's one precinct. But all of the different precinct ballots are available there. It's a big job for an inspector. So if you have voting centers, you're going to inherently reduce the number of locations. For if you don't, you will explode the complexity of voting and increase the personnel that you have otherwise. Because you take people that used to be just responsible for one precinct and one set of ballots, and now they'd have 11 sets of ballots to worry about. So you've got to reduce the number of precincts and put them in strategic locations. I was on the election board when we talked about this, and I looked into the law and everything, and then in some sort of a fit of poor judgment, I resigned from the election board. There was an effort then to create voting centers. It did not necessarily go smoothly, as you would expect that perhaps any kind of change like this. I actually kept this, and any time I had a whim about coming back on the election board, I pull this out and look at it. But the February 7th, 2024, Brown County Democrat, point of contention, election board conducts public hearing on voting center proposal. League of Women Voters, county lacks preparation and resources for the switch. So, you have to be well prepared, and chances are you're not going to make all the people happy all the time. And everybody that complained had a pretty good reason for as they saw it, for their complaint. So I think that what we have, if we went to election voting centers, is we have state-of-the-art voting equipment. There is newer voting equipment than what we have, but it's not newer technology. It's just been bought since we bought ours. The poll books and the OVO and the Freedom Vote machines are state of the art. The equipment that we have was never challenged in the 2020 election as being manipulated. That was all the Dominion equipment. This is Synergen equipment, It was never challenged. There was a debate in, at the last time around as to whether we would have to have lots and lots and lots and lots of additional paper ballots, or do you buy printers to print the ballots at each one of the facilities, or do you buy more Freedom Vote machines, which are the machines that you push the screen and it prints the ballot out that is capable in itself of printing ballots for any precinct. And we use that machine to remake ballots during early voting, or during, on election day, for ballots that, that the machine couldn't take for whatever reason, but that could be remade. Our clerk, on her own initiative, received a grant, applied for and received a grant from the Indiana Secretary of State's office to acquire additional voting equipment for the county to facilitate the switch to vote centers. There's enough money there, about $75,000, to buy enough extra Freedom Vote machines or to buy the printers, if that's the way you decided to go, or maybe do each or both. The Freedom Votes. Yeah.
Freedom Votes.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Okay. So that's something that the election board would have to decide, and it's a pretty technical issue. We would have to decide which way to go with that, but the point is that's not something that's going to come out of the taxpayers' hide. It is a matchless grant. So the money's there so long as we use it. So then the issue is, okay, well, where would these locations be? And you need to pick something that you can live with, because once you put in your plan the location of the polling places, you can't just change that. You have to apply to the state election board for a polling place, a vote center to be changed. You sort of lose control of the process a little bit. So you have to pick places that you know are going to be around. Right now, we have some fire stations, but we also use a lot of facilities that are granted to us by good citizens, but that we have no reason to believe would be available in the following year. We also have, right now, in the current situation, we have some polling places that are not fully ADA compliant. We have there, for example, there's may not be a an asphalt or a concrete parking lot. There may not be ramps. We may not have ingress one way and egress another way. We do our best with what we have to work with, and we've had major improvements over the last few years, but they're still there, and they can be problematic and could be a problem for some voters. Although since I've been on the election board, I've not received a complaint from any voter that they were unable to vote because of the polling place. But I believe that if we go to vote centers, or in fact, even if we don't go to vote centers, that commencing in 2026, that the polling places should all be located in the public schools, with the exception of probably Church of the Lakes up at the lakes, because there's not a public school there. I've spoken with Carol Bowden about this, and I know that the school board's aware, and they're discussing this in good faith, and the superintendent sent me an email back in the summer when I asked, and said that she was sympathetic to our situation. But I want to point out Indiana Code 3-11-8-4, which says school buildings, fire stations, and all other public buildings shall be made available without charge to a county for holding an election. The county may not be required to sign any agreement assuming liability as a precondition for the use of the public building. If a school building of a school corporation is used as a polling place, the school corporation may, 1, conduct a virtual instruction day for students who attend school in the school building, or 2, conduct in-person instruction for students who attend the school in the school building if, A, access to the polling place is secured from access to other areas of the school building, B, public parking access is maintained, and C, access to the polling place and parking is in compliance with the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. So, the option, if the county, through the commissioners, chooses to use the schools as the public polling place, the schools have choice. They may conduct virtual instruction for the students who attend in the building, or they can take such other action under item 2, so long as the polling place is secured from access, public parking is maintained, and access to the polling place is covered by the ADA. But none of that comes at the expense of the county. Or is there any liability incurred by the county if we choose to go to the schools? So, in my judgment, as one of the three voters, if we go to vote centers, we need to use the schools, and I would use all of the at least one of the schools in Nashville, Van Buren, Helmsburg, and Spernica, and then probably we would need to have one more up at the lakes, and there's no school up there. But that's a decision that would need to be made sooner versus later, because it has implications for the school's calendar and implications for student care, daycare, all that sort of thing. I think that's a fundamental element of going to voting centers. Even if you choose not to go to voting centers and you choose to maintain separate precincts, in my judgment, it would be prudent to move as many precincts as possible into the public school buildings and double up precincts within those buildings.
I agree.
And but I think that the biggest asset that we have in the county for voting day to facilitate as many votes by as many voters as we can is to utilize the public schools. And if there's no way to lock down those schools for that part of the county, for the part that the voters need, then either go to virtual school that day or adjourn school for that day. That would be sort of a bedrock issue for me for vote centers, and I think it is an issue that is a serious issue for the county moving forward with respect to voting, whether or not we use voting centers. My thoughts.
Well, I certainly think that we need to look at that, but I felt last fall that we had a chance to look for whether we would go to vote centers or not. The equipment we have would require additional equipment, as Mark said. Now we have money for that. At that time, we didn't. There was some money theoretically available to use a different equipment, but we were committed to the equipment we had. We made four payments on it. We're about to make four payments on it. We got three payments left, and now we will own our equipment that we currently have, the poll books and the OVO Unisys equipment. We own that in 2026. So we would be adding either on-demand printers or additional Freedom Vote. But I think it's definitely something that should be discussed, and I'm certainly willing to be involved in that discussion. And we need a public commitment to that, too.
Sure.
70% of the counties that are already vote center counties utilize their schools as vote centers, and those children have e-learning days.
When we were discussing this, and we had the public meetings before on vote centers, Jackson County, the former clerk there spoke, and I thought, what they were doing, and they use exactly the same equipment that we use. And as I recall, I think it's all Freedom Vote or a similar piece of equipment, I think, that they already had.
They use Freedom Votes in all of their vote centers.
So,
and the Freedom Vote is just a ballot marking device, as you all know. It still prints off a paper ballot for the voter to cast and run through the tabulator.
But I know there are a lot that love the large paper ballot. They're doing their own marking on that particular. And another option is ballot on demand. As I understand, several counties are doing that. And that printer that's used for that is hooked up to our poll books as they are, and is a high quality printer.
Other thoughts? I want to do one more thing. I want to talk about the voting machines that we use. Back, I believe it was in 2020. It was warm weather. It was we had an opportunity, a forum in the library, for citizens to come in and look at all of the voting equipment that was available. All that voting equipment is still available. It was approved by the state election board. And we asked the citizens to let us know by paper notes which machines they liked the best and why, and folks did that, And the election board then, with the advice and consent of the Board of Commissioners, conducted a sealed bid for the necessary equipment we thought that we would need. And virtually all of the vendors participated. The election board then agreed on a selection criteria that would be used, taking into account the comments of the voters and the opinions of the members of the election board. It was a consensus. And the model was designed to create a weighted average on all the different criteria to weigh all of the equipment together. And the clear winner was the equipment that we had. So we went back to the commissioners, we gave this report to the commissioners. We got permission to go to go back to the Synergen or to RBM, if that was their vendor, and negotiate. And I negotiated a tentative agreement with RBM and with the poll book company. And we received a deal that had only been given to much larger counties than Brown County. We then came back and made that presentation to the Board of Commissioners. The commissioners approved that, and the county commissioners and the county attorney finalized the deal and signed the contracts. And basically, it was a 7-year lease to buy at very, very low interest rates. Very, very interesting to the county. So we have state of the art equipment acquired by competitive bid, and I think probably. It's still in the auditor's office, but there is a document down there that exists so that the competition, everybody who bid, can look at it and determine maybe why they didn't get the bid. That's all set out according to statute. So if you're interested, you can go check with Julie and see if it's still there. I don't know. But is it still there? Okay,
the,
so
the waste of purchase agreements are still there.
That's all still there. It was a complicated process, but we went through that because I know that there were some comments in the paper that some folks were under the opinion that this was a special sweetheart deal, secret deal. It wasn't at all. It was a very much of a sealed bid run perfectly under the statute, so there was no opportunity to have it be a special deal. So with that, we have good equipment, but I feel personally, just me, but I feel very strongly that we need to utilize the schools, especially if we go to vote centers. But I think we should use it anyway. Okay. Is there anything else?
Not here.
You have anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is there a motion to? What I'm going to do is I'm going to adjourn the meeting, and then I'm going to sit here. Until y'all are done asking questions. So that is a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.